From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Grady Clark Ford studio this morning. Jeffrey Wright joining the show with us in 1 second. He'll just come on to the beginning and we'll talk to him and go from there. Let you know that Ole Miss plays home basketball on Saturday against Arkansas. Take that ticket stub with you when you leave. It is a coupon for the Oxford Crystal, $1.50 off a sackful or a steamer pack there with the Oxford Crystal and the Oxford Exxon. And if you're in the Tupelo area, you need a job, holler at Oxford Exxon or Oxford Crystal on Twitter. They've opened a new Crystal in Saltillo. They'll take care of you. Also, if you just want to, you know, eat and take advantage of the wonderful breakfast and more there. Again, that location just getting started there in Saltillo. We can come to you from the Clark Ford studio.
We are Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900 is that number. Call it. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what Ford product you're looking for. He will send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. Simple, right to the bottom line. No hassle, no haggle. You get your quote, and the rest is up to you. 662-257-1900.
Jeffrey, good morning. You didn't even say hello this morning. Well, actually, you said hello, then went straight into one of your beefs.
Yeah, I said good morning.
You did.
And then I said, and Neil, I would like you to know that I'm conscientiously objecting to Neil's picks from now on, because you've hijacked it. You absolutely have. You know, what went from a friendly competition of picking the SEC games and then this massive sigh of relief after the SEC championship game was over so that I no longer had to write those, to I now wake up like every Monday or Tuesday with my email, with the games, with the lines, and I don't know if you tried to bet the NFL this year. It wasn't easy, and I quit betting the NFL about week 7 or 8, and then all of a sudden, Neil needs to make up some ground. In week 7, you needed to make up some ground. And then all of a sudden, we start to see these NFL games creep in, and it started out as a nice little joke. It's how these things work. It starts off as a joke, and to get Chase to get a loss, you started putting the Saints in because the Saints were like a freaking auto cover with freaking Teddy Bridgewater. You started putting them in every single week. Then, ha ha ha, you threw in Bears games, and all you had to do is bet against the Bears. And then, all of a sudden now, we're a freaking NFL picks column.
Hey, I don't know about you.
I don't know if you understand this, Neil, but what you are right now is an enabler.
It sounds like a willpower issue, because you could just avoid betting on the games on the weekend.
You have a friend that's trying to beat a cocaine addiction, and then you just put you started off putting a little vial of cocaine right in front of him, saying, like, yeah, hey man, let's just see if you can test yourself. Let's see you test it. Now you've got a freaking mountain of cocaine in front of me, and now I don't know what to do.
You calling him Pablo Escobar at this point?
Ironically, yes. If I would only bet and actually bet real money on nothing but NFL games, I'd have cash in pocket right now. I've done well on the NFL, and I have no idea why.
I don't either. I guess coin flips?
I don't know. I spend my Sundays. This year, I watched more NFL than normal just because it's kind of on while I'm doing 10 thoughts on Sundays, and it's just on in the background. And the Bears were bad, and I realized that quickly, and so I just kind of watched different teams, and I don't know. Maybe I have some sort of a innate pulse for the stupid thing. I don't know.
Right. You do watch more NFL than you do college football, because you have your Sundays. All you do on Sunday is your 10 thoughts, and then you keep the NFL on in the background.
Yeah.
You don't watch more NFL than I do.
No, I don't. No, I don't. So, that's not possible.
Right. So what you did was you zeroed in on a team that at one time was playing very good before getting massively injured in the Saints, and then a team that cannot move the football because they literally decided to pick Mitch Trubisky, which I don't even like when people are like, there's revisionist history. He was the number one quarterback. Everyone, at the time that move was made, everyone goes, this is stupid.
You know, I talked to Ryan Brown about this yesterday. It'll be a beer garden that'll be up probably today. We were talking about quarterbacks. We were talking about quarterbacks and Tua, and you know what should Miami do? What should Detroit do? And it reminded me of the story. I've referenced it a couple of times. I read it in the Chicago Tribune here in the last week or so. It was really well done. It was a deep, deep, deep dive into the Bears' thinking during the months leading up to the draft, where they did not take Deshaun Watson, where they did not take Patrick Mahomes, where they did take Mitch Trubisky, and it was fascinating. It was really incredibly well written, well reported, and it shows you the tendency, and it's and as they pointed out, the Bears taking Trubisky are not the first team, nor will they be the last team to overthink the draft and make a colossal error. It happens all the time.
Does DK fall into the same thing? Because I know it's Ole Miss fans' favorite thing to do every time DK catches a deep ball to...
But yes. The answer is yes.
Did teams overthink it, or was he drafted right where he should have been? Because the truth is, right now, DK is still a specialist. Now, he went to the perfect place. He went to a place where I think right now Russell Wilson is the best deep ball thrower in the entire NFL, and it is shown. But we're still not watching, like, the same concerns that people had about DK, which is he a complete wide receiver? I don't think those have been alleviated yet.
No, that's more than fair. Sometimes, you know, it's that whole deal of, the unanswered prayers, right? He wanted to go sure. In the first round. And he probably could have gone in the first round, but there are certainly teams that had they taken him, it would not be nearly as good of a fit as the as the fit that he has in Seattle, where it's an absolutely perfect fit culturally. When I say culturally, I mean inside that team, the way Pete Carroll kind of runs things, Russell Wilson. There are other receivers there that he could learn from. There's just a lot that was. You probably couldn't have. It's much like Terrence Davis and the Raptors. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Probably not with you on the show, but whatever. You know, people talk about with so much with TD and the success that he's having is based on the fact that he could not. And you're an NBA guy, so you'll know what I'm about to say. He could not have handpicked a better coach than Nick Nurse for his rookie season. Literally, I don't know that there's a human being on earth who would be a better fit than Nick Nurse, coming off of an NBA title with no pressure. Yeah. There's no pressure in Toronto. They won the championship. Kawhi left. It fits for Terrence to come in and play. And he gave a quote yesterday because I believe in the kid and I've had to kind of get on him, but then I put my arm around him the next day. And psychologically, it's a perfect fit. And I think it's that way with DK and Pete Carroll. I think Pete Carroll's the perfect coach for a person of DK Metcalf's makeup, which is, before anybody thinks I'm insulting him, he's bright, he cares, he's sensitive. There's a lot there. You can't just coach DK Metcalf by screaming at him, and you can't just coach him by just loving on him. You got to push him, but you got to be it's complicated, and it's a perfect fit. But yeah, in terms of production and what he did, there's no doubt that the NFL whiffed on both A.J. Brown and D.K. Metcalf. Look at A.J.'s numbers. Those are the numbers of a first-round pick.
And that's the thing. I would make the argument they overthought A.J. more than they overthought D.K. Because A.J. has shown, thus far to me, has shown a more complete game at the receiver position. But I also think that they're starting to be, I think for a while, I think there's maybe an overcorrection. I think people are starting in the NFL to treat the receiver position more similarly than they were treating the run, or more similar to what they treated the running back position, 10 years ago, where it felt like after Trent Richardson went in the first round, everyone's like, okay, we're done doing this. And then the Cowboys did it with Zeke, and then it worked out for Zeke. And then it's like, okay, well, we're back to doing this and over drafting receivers. But to me, it does seem like that they're overdrafting running backs. Now it seems like they're overdrafting receivers, and then now they're saying we're not going to take these guys as high as we used to.
And I think that's a mistake, because look around the league at how impactful receivers are.
I think it depends. I think if you have complete receivers, I agree. But, I mean, I'm at the point now where does anyone really think that Odell Beckham Jr. makes their team a better offense?
No, he makes it worse. I don't know that it's even debatable. You have a handful of very elite wide receivers. I think past that, DeAndre they're pretty interchangeable.
DeAndre Hopkins makes the team a different football team.
Of course.
Because of how he plays the position. Julio Jones makes the team a different football team.
Michael Thomas.
With that being said, the rest of them, like, you know, if you want to sit on the outside and run triple moves in the NFL, that's your prerogative. And then you're going to kick and scream when you can't, when people can't get you the ball. It's like, oh, can't believe that didn't work.
Getting made fun of on the live stream for my number of pullovers. How many pullovers do you own, Jeffrey?
More than you do.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
Because somebody was like, somebody goes, hey, do you have 30? And I thought, oh, no, I got a lot more than 30.
You got a bunch.
Oh, okay. Well, no. Oh, then your numbers are higher.
Oh, really?
I'd say I'm solidly in that like 10 to 15 range.
Oh, yeah. I got more than that.
Yeah. I've got.
Good for you.
I've got, I'd say 8 to 10.
Okay.
You've got tons of them. It's like everywhere you go, you like throw me a pullover.
Yeah. I have a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a fan of the pullover, but there also comes a point where I'm like, do I really need that one?
Most years, I actually play more winter golf than you do, though, because you get a little cold natured on me once that thing dips below about 65.
65.
That's more like 78. Thank you.
Ball ain't in the air. We're not even considering ball in the air till 70.
He gets below 80 and he starts going south for the winter. He's got to find something.
Yeah. Hey, I'll go spend $2,500 to go to Florida to go play golf. That was how I did it.
How are you enjoying watching the state coaching search?
Holy cow. Well, that's the problem also with state coaching searches. If you're in the content business and you spent a portion of your career covering Ole Miss and you want to say anything about it, watch out. That MSU mafia is going to come after you. With that being said, if you're a reasonable Mississippi State fan, how can you be pleased with how this is going? I guess if you get Leach in the end, like, it's fine, whatever, you know what I mean?
You can't. And for whatever reason, and I don't know what the deal is, something happened yesterday, and I don't know that it's permanent. Something happened yesterday with Sarkisian, where if you're John Cohen, and I know John Cohen's a lifer at Mississippi State, so he's never going to do this. You've got to say to Keenum, is it Mark Keenum?
Yep.
You've got to say to Keenum or whoever it is at Mississippi State that's doing this, hey, am I doing this search or am I not? Am I making this hire or am I not? Because if I'm making it, butt out. And if I'm not making it, well, then here's my resignation. I'm leaving. Cohen obviously can't do that because he wouldn't be able to go get another AD job. And so you've got all this deal where no one knows who the hell's making the decision over there. Cohen talks.
I guess I would ask you this question. Having covered as many coaching searches as you have, other than the one that you just covered with Ole Miss, how many times does the AD really get to run the search? The one in Memphis, it didn't.
No, I mean, but usually you sort of know that. Whether it's the AD or it's the guy that runs the massive lumber company, or whether it's the guy that runs the massive chicken company, or whether whoever it is, you got to know who the point man is. You do in anything have to have a decisive. There has to be one person who is ultimately making the call. And I think Mississippi State's confused. They don't know who is making the call, who is not making the call. Cohen went and talked to Mike Leach. I think that information is true. I'll give credit where it's due. I think Bo Bounds was the first to report it. Credit to him. Do they have the authority to hire him? Do they have the money to buy him out? Would Leach take the job? I think absolutely yes. From talking to a number of people yesterday, Mike Leach would indeed take the Mississippi State job. He would take it gladly. He would take it joyfully. He wants to coach in the SEC. That's a hard job, but it is in the SEC. He would take it. But it. So Ryan Brown and I were talking about this too. Here's where Mississippi State made another big mistake. And boy, ADs make this mistake all the time. You hold a press conference to announce that, hey, we've made this change. We've fired the previous coach. We wish him well, blah, blah, blah. We're going to find us a hard-nosed, disciplined guy, blue-collar. That's what we are. Okay, well, that's not who Mike Leach is. So when you hire Mike Leach, smart asses like me go, but you said you were going to hire. Why do you do that? Why do you handcuff yourself initially? It's a very simple press conference to hold. This is why I tell people all the time, they're like, oh boy, you guys get to talk to football coaches and athletics directors. Yeah, just because you're standing up there doesn't mean you're a smart guy. A lot of people in athletics are just not very smart. It's an easy press conference to hold. We're going to go out and we're going to try to find the best coach we can find. When we get him, we're going to hire him. We're in the scoreboard business. We're going to try to get a guy that can put more points on the scoreboard than the teams that we play. Thanks a lot. We'll be back when we get a new coach. End of conversation. Instead, they talk big about we're going to do this, we're going to do this, and we're going to do this. And then here we are, what, a week later, and they haven't done any of those things.
Yeah, and to me, you know, the candidate that actually fit what they were laying out was Jeremy Pruitt. And that was the guy that their fan base didn't want 2 years ago when they actually, at that point, I mean, the irony of it all is they probably could have gotten Jeremy Pruitt because at that time Tennessee was in the middle of a massive bungling of their search.
Absolutely could have gotten him. Sure, absolutely. And he would have been a better, quote, fit, end quote, than what they have now and what they had with Moorhead and what they appear to be looking at today. It's funny to me too, man. And Ole Miss did some of this. There was Keith Carter, to his everlasting credit, ignored it. But there was a lot of fit talk here for a long time too. I mean, this is not a new thing. Schools get obsessed with what is the fit. What is the fit? Hell, I don't know, man. Get a coach who can win games. That'll fit. Winning fits. Losing doesn't fit.
So all three of us have talked about. Nick Saban is not a fit in Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
Not even close.
And Nick Saban was a fit for their program when they gave him the job. Like,
no, he's turned Alabama into Saban.
And was Urban Meyer fit at Florida?
No. No, he was much more of a quote fit in the Midwest than he was at Florida.
I mean, was.
Well, the very best example was Dan Mullen a fit at Mississippi State? No.
No, he's just a really good football coach.
That obsession with fit, we got to get somebody who fits our values. Okay, Steve Sarkisian was once an alcoholic, which means he's always an alcoholic. He appears to have gotten his personal life in order over the last couple, 3 years, which is a good thing. We should all cheer for everyone to get their personal lives in order. But because of that,
sure.
Well, we...
He's still... Atlanta Falcons.
We just don't feel good about the fact that he used to drink and what?
See, I don't think it's that. I think it's the perception of, and listen, Sarkisian might have been the best option. I don't know. I personally disagree. But I think what it boiled down to is, are we really gonna do what Ole Miss did, but honestly, probably go get the lesser of the name.
I'm always try to give people the benefit, believe it or not, as cynical as I am, I do try to give people the benefit of the doubt for as long as I can. And for the longest time, I tried to give State the benefit of the doubt that this was not entirely a Lane Kiffin reaction. I'm running out of doubt.
Oh, you're building that in, the more it goes.
The more I look at it, the more I think, yeah, it's exactly what they've done.
Took a break in our talk with Jeffrey to tell you about G&M Pharmacy right there on South Lamar Boulevard in Oxford. 662-236-2222 is the phone number. They deliver local to your home or workplace. They offer MedSync to fill your prescriptions the same day every month to make it easy on you. And with Right Way Meds, you can get your medicine individually packaged for the time and date that you need it. All that offered there with your local pharmacy choice with G&M. Also Tyson Drugs on the square in Holly Springs. Again, G&M, 662-236-2222.
There's a Mind on My Money podcast out today. We realize there are some audio issues. We're working to fix those for the future, but it's packed with information. Jarrett Little, part of Lentz and Little, joined us on the Mind on My Money podcast. If you are in need of advice or assistance with your financial situation, whether it's repossessions, foreclosures, bankruptcies, that type of thing, get in touch with Jarrett Little at 228-867-6050. Visit their website, lentzlittle.com, or email Jarrett, J-A-R-R-E-T-T, at Lentz, that's L-E-N-T-Z, little.com. Your initial consultation by phone or in person is free of charge. We are also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, Grenada Nissan's the place to go. They've got a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles, great lease deals as well. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. Also brought to you by John Edwards, Regency Travel Incorporated in Memphis. If you're planning a trip that you want to be memorable, one that creates a lifetime of unique memories, get in touch with John. Give him some parameters. Give him a budget. He'll give you options that you will not find on your own. 901-494-3387 or send him an email, jedwards@regencytravel.net. First-time clients can save $50 off their first booked trip just by telling John you heard about Regency Travel on the podcast. And it's a podcast that's brought to you by Oxford University Bank, OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB is home to a commercial checking account now paying 1% interest as long as you keep $10,000 in the account. Comes with fully interactive online banking. They can set up any local business to deposit checks from their office and not have to worry with coming to the bank daily to deposit those checks. More than likely, any business owner at another bank is now paying a monthly fee for their account, most assuredly not making 1% on their money. To learn more about OUB, check out LiveOxford, BankOxford.com, or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured.
I agree with you, because when they first made the decision to move on from Moorhead, I was like, you know what? This doesn't feel... Because they wanted to do it before Kiffin was even a part of the equation.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they reversed course. I don't know if maybe it's necessarily mutually exclusive. You know, something can start out as one thing and then develop into another.
Oh, I think that's a very good point. I do think that... I don't think it. I know it. That they intended to fire him going into the Egg Bowl. I think what's interesting is I think the state people thought they were losing the Egg Bowl.
Yes, they did.
They were emotionally prepared to lose the Egg Bowl and to move on the next day.
Hey, I had a lot of Mississippi State friends that wanted them to lose the Egg Bowl.
Well, I mean, looking back on it now, I mean, I think if you offered a lot of those people, say, hey, okay, with the benefit of revisionist history, you still want to win that game? All right, no, we're good.
Most of my Mississippi State friends go, okay, they played it out with me. Like, all right, let's say we win the Egg Bowl, whatever. Great. Woohoo. We'll do all the media campaign. That means we will have beaten a 4-8 team that has gone under Matt Luke 6-6, 5-7, 4-8. That becomes the standard of what is a success?
I tell you what's interesting in the SEC West is that you look around and State very publicly saying that, I mean, and, you know, to their credit, they fired a coach who won two straight Egg Bowls. For the longest time, it was, hey, as long as you beat Ole Miss, you're good there. Well, he beat Ole Miss.
As in my lifetime, no coach has been fired after winning the Egg Bowl.
Chase gave a stat about it yesterday.
Yeah, it was Dylan's stat about how every state coach since 1937 basically was fired after an Egg Bowl loss, that they none of them had lost their job after a win.
So they've set an expectation at what appears to be 8-9 wins a year. That's very clearly what Ole Miss's expectation is. It's I think we know what LSU and Alabama and Auburn and Texas A&M's expectation is. Hey, I can do the math on this.
Not everybody can do that.
Those teams play each other every year, and the way the rules work, someone's got to lose.
It's why state's having a hard time filling this search, is because all of a sudden you tell them, hey, we're firing a guy that won the Egg Bowl twice in a row and went 7-5 and 6-6, and suddenly he's got to go 8 or 9 wins, and everybody goes, hey, whoa now.
Well, and the rumor is...
Yeah, no thanks.
The rumor is Billy Napier's, his response has essentially been, you want me to think about it? Let's get up 5.5-6 million a year. Throw some money at me where I have no choice but to think about it.
And that was always my point. When everyone was asking, you know, like, why are people saying no? And I just go, well, whether or not, you know, I understand it. In the end, what hurt Joe Moorhead the most, if you're considered to be an offensive guy and an offensive mind and the offensive guru and all the things that he was sold as, your offense has to look good.
Yeah.
It never looked good. And you can say it was his fault, and I put plenty of blame. You know, trying to turn Nick Fitzgerald into Trace McSorley was a massive error in judgment. I guess you could say this year, the Kansas State game, but who did they lose to? I guess Kansas State and then Tennessee. Other than that, like, you know, and then he's dealing with suspensions. Yeah, but I've never been the guy that puts stock into. I don't think the Louisville loss hurt as much as Schrader getting the absolute crap beaten out of him did.
Oh, I agree with
that.
Yeah,
there's no doubt about that.
I also think that he knew. There was a reason. Go back to Dan Mullen's final game, the Nick Fitzgerald broken leg game that ended up getting Matt Luke the Ole Miss job. Dan Mullen at the end of that game was not a disappointed coach. He walked around. He took it in one last time. He knew that program, because of some of the things that had happened in recruiting, because of some of the stuff that was going on with the NCAA, he knew that the gig was up. He knew he was out. I think he thought he was going to Tennessee, maybe to Florida, but he knew he was gone. And he beat the band out of there. He knew the gig was up. And in many ways, Moorhead has sort of had to come in and pay the bill that Mullen left behind.
I mean, to me, Moorhead feels like, and I know state fans or whatever, everyone can laugh. Joe Moorhead, to me, feels like a better football coach version of Ron Zook.
I mean, he's going to get the offensive coordinator gig at Oregon working for Cristobal. He's highly thought of as an offensive mind in the coaching business. What kind of a head coach he is, I don't know. That's a hard place. I mean, look around. Dan Mullen won there. Who else has won there?
That's it.
Cheryl had a blip.
Finished exactly 500.
Yeah, and Cheryl's year was mostly with JUCOs, and that's hard to do in today's SEC. It's just hard to do. Mullen did it. I'm of the opinion, I've said that this year before, I think Mullen would win anywhere.
Jeffrey, well, I mean, I've been saying that since like 2010.
No, yeah, you have. Well, you've said it since as long as I've known you that he's the most underrated coach in the league, and he is.
Who you got on this afternoon?
This afternoon, today's Thursday, I'm doing two shows because the University of Memphis plays a huge game apparently at Wichita State.
Ooh, can't wait for that.
Let's see. This afternoon is Thursday. Mark is on the road, so he'll join. Then Jason joins, and then today we'll on same thing on Calkins' show. We'll be doing NFL. Jeff's on the road. You know, just getting everyone all getting the table set for tonight's massive matchup between the University of Memphis and Wichita State.
I know you got to go, and I'm not going to keep you, but I'll tell you this. I feel for you having to build a show around college basketball. And the reason I say that is last night, Carson and I watched most of the Raptors game, and then I watched a good bit of LSU-Arkansas. LSU-Arkansas came down to the final shot. Arkansas took a three, got fouled. Refs didn't call it. LSU wins. But the game was virtually unwatchable.
Whoa. LSU in the state of Louisiana got a call?
Yep.
That never happens.
No, that doesn't happen. But the point is the game, because of the officiating and because of just kind of how sloppy it is, but the way that the game is called at the college level compared to the way that the game is called at the NBA level, and then, of course, the skill difference, makes when you watch one and then watch the other, which your people in Memphis can do, a Grizzlies game is far more viscerally pleasing than a Tigers game. Yet, because the Tigers are the passionate thing, you've got to talk about Tigers, 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 Tigers all the time, and not, and I know you talk a good bit of NBA, but the far more compelling, interesting story in your market is this Grizzlies team that is putting together this really fun core that they're going to build on, and they're going to get better to the point where they're already debating, hey, should we try to get better now? And it's what's
interesting. I will say this. The tides, I've always had a pretty good sense for this. The tides are turning. Well, with Memphis, this was a completely different situation before Wiseman left, because they went on a run without Wiseman. And then the thought is, okay, once we get him back and you looked at the landscape of college basketball, there was the thought that this team could be special. Wiseman leaves and they lose to Georgia at home. Now, I always thought the caveat, DJ Jeffries didn't play.
Right.
So that matters. And now you're starting to see this Ja Morant thing isn't a fluke. And now Jaren Jackson Jr. has added a part to his game in shooting the three ball that makes his ceiling completely different. I mean, he now goes from being, you know, he now has a very, very high ceiling if he's going to be this type of player.
Yep.
And now all of a sudden, you look at the landscape of the West, it's an aging West, and you can start to think about the next decade for the Grizzlies. And it's not insane to think that this is a team that could matter in the West for the next decade.
Starting next year.
Exactly. And Memphis has that spot right now where they're not a bad team. They're just kind of a boring team. They're like somewhere between like a 7 and 10 seed, I think.
Yeah.
And that's not a bad basketball team at all. But it's not a particularly compelling basketball team. And anytime John Morant's on the floor, it's compelling.
No, it's sitting here waiting to see them. I mean, they're going to get in the tournament, and then you wait and see if they can upset a 2 on that Saturday or Sunday. You know what I mean? Like, it's right. just, it's a holding
it's
pattern.
Possible, because I think we're maybe overreacting of, is college basketball good this year? Because Duke is very good. They just happened to fall asleep and lose to Stephen F. Austin at home. But if you look at them every other, like if you look at the totality of their resume other than that, they have one loss. They're top 5 in offense and defensive efficiency. Like, they have the makings of a national title team.
Yeah.
Now, after that, I don't really know who I would put in that category, but there was a real opportunity for Memphis. Yeah. If they got Wiseman to, there was a real, real chance. And so now, you know, like I said, they can get to the second weekend, but it does mean, I think, that they're going to have to wear the dark jerseys in game 2 to get to the second weekend.
Yeah, I think I buy that as well. Have a good day, bud. We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
That was Jeffrey Wright. Tom Maher's back in the news, Mr. McCurdy.
Saw that.
See that?
Saw that. You know, he and I have had
people
some,
helping people.
He and I have had some interaction
on
email where
I'm aware.
And where we left it is me telling him, hey, you probably should call me about this, because what you're saying that I supposedly heard, I didn't. He is not accusing me. He is pursuing something.
He was seeking information.
Seeking information. And he said, hey, I know.
Because I got your first text and I went, whoa. Like, that was, it startled me a little bit when you sent the first communication regarding that. And then.
Yeah, he said, I no longer need to talk to you. I already know about the conversation that you had. And I said, with whom? And he told me, and I said, hey, I don't know how to tell you this, but I didn't have that conversation.
He's still hard at work.
Yeah. I mean, I think I know what that's about.
Oh, I think I definitely know what that's about.
And if I know what it's about, then the conversation that he is saying that I had, I didn't have.
No relevance to that whatsoever.
Yeah, he's like, if you need to contact your attorney, I'm like, I don't need an attorney. I didn't talk to anybody. I talked to people who did talk to people, but I didn't talk to those people. I mean, I'm second, third hand at most.
He is defending Cade Mays in Mays' efforts to gain immediate eligibility at Tennessee. Mays had been at Georgia, trying to go back to Knoxville. Mars told Trey Wallace, assuming this quote is valid from Twitter, that, quote, my contract with NCAA enforcement prohibits me from representing anyone in infractions matters. However, I'm under no restrictions that prevent me from representing student athletes or advising schools in matters regarding eligibility. Good to be Tom Mars. glad you got that clause in there, bud. That's good to know. Got a good attorney to put that thing together. Good grief.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. So an employee is going to represent the kid in the matter?
Against his... Come on. And you know where I stand on this. I think kids should absolutely all get a one-time free transfer. I've been consistent on this.
So in addition to normal just eligibility stuff here, and Mars doing kind of his normal Mars thing, he gives the quote, says, of all the waiver cases I've ever been involved in, I've never seen anything quite like this one. For the sake of everyone who loves college football, I hope I never see another one. Quote he gave the Knoxville Sentinel yesterday in an email.
Wait, what?
I'm reading.
What's about Cade Mays?
Yeah.
Who cares?
Of all the waiver cases I've been involved in, I've never seen anything quite like this one. For the sake of everyone who loves college football, I hope I never see another one. Also, we have this interesting part, and I'm again reading from the Knoxville Sentinel. May's parents, Kevin and Melinda, are suing Georgia's Athletic Association and Board of Regents, among other parties, for damages after May had his right pinky finger severed by a folding chair during a recruiting event at Georgia's Sanford Stadium in 2017. Mm. His son was on his official recruiting visit before signing with the Bulldogs later that month. The lawsuit obtained Wednesday. Let's see. By the way, Anthony Dasher and those guys first reported this. Quote, the Mays family has never said a word to anyone about Kevin Mays' lawsuit. Morris told the news. The timing of the news stories about Mays' lawsuit makes clear that Georgia leaked the story to sports writers today after Cade delivered a letter to Kirby Smart late on Tuesday explaining the reasons why he's leaving the program. In fact, one sports writer I spoke with earlier today confirmed that's how he found out about the lawsuit. I suppose I shouldn't be surprised that Georgia is continuing to take the low road on the lawsuit, but in my opinion, directing sports writers to Mr. Mays' lawsuit set a new record low for Georgia athletics.
I can think of some lowers.
Yeah.
Or highers, depending on how you enumerate that.
How long you got? Okay, we got the normal eligibility thing. We
don't
got
you know
the parents
that hurt, by the
suing,
way, when your finger gets...
I can't imagine.
Oh, my God. When I was in the sixth grade, a boy in our class, Joey Skinner, was playing with the door and slammed off one of his fingers, and I'll never forget it as long as I live. The finger just laid there on the ground. It was awful.
You get squeamish in movies and stuff when they show like digits being removed.
Yes,
and
of
stuff
course.
Like that.
I don't want to watch that stuff. Dude, just give me The Office on a loop. I'm good.
Psychologically and actual pain. That might be like one of the worst things. Like somebody took your hand and just...
Stop talking.
And just cut
Stop
it off.
Stop talking.
Like put it in a vise.
Go back to talking about the Tom Mars thing. I'm about to throw up. Go. Go back to legalese. Talk. I'm sorry I brought up Joey Skinner. Go. I apologize. It's my fault. Talk.
That's like stumping your toe times 10,000, right?
Just read your story. Do your be whatever.
Would you rather have a pinky finger or a pinky toe cut off? Toe?
Yes.
You'd rather lose the toe?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Because I'd wear socks and shoes. I'd have to look at the finger the rest of my life.
I'm bothering people in the stream, too.
Yeah.
Anyway. Look, I don't... Whatever. It's SEC football. We're always getting entertained by something. This is today's thing. It's always something. What does Mars do for the NCAA? Again, reading from the Sentinel. said he's under contract with enforcement as an independent enforcement advocate on standby without compensation. Whoa, hold on. What?
What?
He didn't get paid?
No, he's still based up in...
Yeah, he still has his normal practice.
Like up in Rogers. It's like just north of Fayetteville.
He's part of a team of professionals who will handle enforcement cases that might be assigned to the NCAA's complex case unit. NCAA enforcement is not involved in transfer waivers, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Come on. He gets something. He's not doing it out of the kindness of his freaking heart. Really cares about student athletes, though, so I don't know. I mean, he was basically an uncle to Shea Patterson, I think, throughout that whole process.
Yeah. So that worked out. Where's Shea going in the draft? 7th, 8th?
2 or 20, like his jersey numbers?
Yeah. Somewhere between 2 and 20.
So you think you're done with Tom? You think y'all are finished your conversation?
I don't know. The last correspondence I sent to him was I'm not one to question people's sources, but I believe you have a bad one. What he said that I did, the conversation that he said I was a party to, I wasn't. He said, "Well, you had an off the record conversation with," and I said, "No, I didn't." I didn't. Certainly never about that topic. And I know we're being, I'm sorry, but I can't. But he never responded to that. So I guess at some point I'm going to get deposed or something. And if it ever goes that far, and I can't imagine that it will. It's the weakest lawsuit ever.
Yeah, I didn't really see much to that one.
But if I get
a lot of sour grapes, felt like
yeah.
That one.
I mean, did you have that conversation? No, I did not. You realize you're under oath? Yeah, sure. I didn't have that conversation. So and so did not tell you. Nope.
You might get deposed.
Did you hear that? Yes, I did. I hear lots of stuff.
Whatever. All right. Let's see. We got a couple minutes here.
How do you get your finger slammed off in a folding chair?
Is that though? Bothering you again?
I'm trying to imagine.
You had to have got it caught, like maybe in the gear, like where
someone slammed it or something.
Yeah, like where it actually closes on the side, like the hinge.
I saw where Pittman put it on ice.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because you can save it.
And they
went
to the hospital, but they couldn't
reattach it.
Apparently not. No, sir.
No.
No, hey! Sir.
Oh, said a ring got caught. Oh, God.
Ooh. Why is he wearing a ring on his pinky?
I don't. Maybe he's just guessing.
He wears
I don't
a
know,
pinky ring?
It was probably just a guess. I don't know. But now it is starting to hurt a little bit.
Don't wear a pinky ring. That's dumb.
Saying he deserved it if he was wearing a pinky ring?
Well, no,
is that what you're saying?
Just don't wear one.
Are you saying? I thought you were pretty live and let live now.
Yeah, but don't wear pinky rings. When you play sport, when you lift weights, I'll have my ring on. I think I should probably take this off.
Just in case.
I think that all the time.
Do you?
Yep.
Neil lifts, guys, so you just want to tell you.
No, that's not what I mean. I just mean I always think I probably should take this off.
You mentioned like being in the mob on the stream. You'd be a really bad mobster if you had to like go cut people's fingers off to like get debts and stuff. You wouldn't be able to pull that one off.
No, I'm not the mobster type.
You wouldn't be a good runner for those guys.
No, I'm not that way.
The Gambino crime family couldn't use Mr. McCready very well.
If you ever hear about me getting involved in some sort of hit like that, I'm either the
look into that one a little bit.
Dig into that. There are a handful of things that if I ever got accused of, I'm probably guilty. And there are two or three things that if I ever get accused of, you guys need to come to my defense because it didn't happen.
You need a guy like Tom Morris potentially when you're trying to get through this thing.
You need to come to that jail and protest and say there's no way. Because there are two or three things that there's no way. And being a hitman's one of them.
I want to go back to Terrence Davis in a minute. Before we do that, I'll tell you about Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. Our underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. So you're getting local underwriting. It understands your market, a leader in condo financing, and the float-down option, so you can lock in the rate. But if rates go down before you close, you get that lower rate. 662-234-2704 or JLOWE at communitymtg.com.
Probably should have told you this earlier, but Jeffrey Wright joined us on the Rafters Music and Food Hotline. It's my fault. This Sunday, Rafters Sunday Bluegrass Sunday Brunch is going on. It starts at 10:45. $3 mimosas, $5 famous Bloody Marys. Be a great place to spend your Friday night, your Saturday night. Great place to watch games, NFL games, the college basketball games, whatever makes you happy. They'll have it on all the different screens there at Rafters on the Square in Oxford. Don't just accept what you see, but imagine seeing something new. Step forward and chase after a better version of yourself. Every day, Corinth Dental is helping people reinvent themselves one smile at a time. Dr. Bubba McQueen and Dr. Jenny Beth Hendrick are devoted to restoring and enhancing the natural beauty of your smile using conservative state-of-the-art procedures, including Invisalign. These clear aligners are the virtually invisible way to improve your smile. Call Corinth Dental today for a no-cost digital scan of your teeth. Let them show you the way to a straighter, healthier smile. 12-month, no interest, no down payment, financing available at corinthdental.com. Dead Soxy wants you to know they created socks that make an impact. Dead Soxy is teamed up with Vogel Alcove to help young children in the Dallas area overcome the lasting and traumatic effects of homelessness. These incredible socks were created by the very kids this program is serving with three one-of-a-kind designs. Each sock tells its own story. Visit deadsoxy.com. Click on the yellow banner at the top of the page to visit the collab page. 50% of all proceeds have been pledged to help break the cycle of child homelessness. Extend the season of perpetual giving and support this incredible collaboration. The promo code will not apply to the Vogel Alcove collaboration in order to maximize the donation, but remember, you can enjoy 30% off all other Dead Soxy products with promo code Rebel Grove. So it's deadsoxy.com. Picks will be up in a little bit. I think I got to enter Jeffrey's. I'm not sure whether Chase has entered his yet, but we'll have them to you this morning at some point. They're brought to you by Southern Craft Stove and Tap. Southern Craft Stove and Tap has your pregame and pre-concert needs covered. So whether you're headed to Oxford for the Rebels SEC basketball slate or to Tupelo for one of the many events like Miranda Lambert on January the 16th, make sure you get your event started off right with a visit to Southern Craft, conveniently located off Highway 7 and Sisk Avenue in Oxford and at 205 East Troy Street in Tupelo. Southern Craft has all your Southern favorites ready to serve your hunger needs. Or drop in and enjoy a curated cocktail or one of their many craft beers on tap. Don't forget to ask about the banquet room for private dining or to have all of your favorites catered for any occasion from office to private visit, now available in both locations at Southern Craft Stove and Tap.
So you mentioned Terrence Davis a little bit. The Athletic has a really good story on him. Basically, the game story from last night is a Terrence Davis story. 23-11 and 5 in his first start, as Neil said. Nurse had gotten on him pretty good in the lead up, had not played very well in the past. Nurse gave the quote last night. Says, "Here, see, I had it 1 second. Well, I had it in front of me, and then I lost it."
Key sentence in it is, "I believe in the kid."
Yeah,
it's hard not to, if you know Terrence Davis the person, it's hard not to like him. It's hard not to cheer for him. He is just a fantastic human being, and he has had your typical rookie ups and downs. And he was coming kind of off of a down cycle, had not played particularly well, especially on the defensive end a couple of games in a row.
Says, "With me, as you've seen already a few times this year, I'm going to rattle your cage if you deserve to have it rattled, but I'm going to put my arm around you the next day and get on with it because I believe in the kid. It was only in his and our team's best interest to do that, so we did that," was his quote. TD admitted basically he had played poorly.
Yeah.
Again, he had a huge night in all ways. He hit plus minus is a weird stat, but he's been really good with plus minus most of the year, showing he can generate some runs when he's in the game. And then he had the big defensive stop as well, as Terry Rozier may miss the three at the buzzer or whatever.
Defended it really well. And Rozier is a very good player. For people who don't follow the NBA, you don't watch much Charlotte Hornets, and I know that's probably the majority of you. Terry Rozier's a really good player.
Yeah, shot a three in a 112-110 Raptors victory. So
in overtime.
It was a great game.
It was
also, the Raptors are very shorthanded right now. They didn't need another overtime on a back-to-back. They needed it at the end right there. Yeah. There was a lot there. So,
yeah, Carson got up this morning and goes, "That Raptors game was fun." I was like, it was. It was great. There's
Rozier got a little hot and bothered after that. Kind of came at him a little bit.
Well, TD talked. And Rozier looked back at him like, wait, is that the rookie?
Yeah. There is a little bit of a hierarchy there.
Well, there was one play near the end of regulation, and because the Raptors won, it didn't, at one TD had the ball, and he started to attack, and it was like something clicked in his head. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Final possession. Yeah. This is not my turn yet.
Yeah,
and
he
passed it off to Lowry, who ended up making a bucket.
Mm-hmm.
And Kyle Lowry had that look on his face, kind of like, you damn well better get the ball to me. And
there is
a hierarchy in that league, which is one of the things that makes that league really fun to watch, is that you watch people develop bigger roles as they go. I know people hate it. I get it. And I'm not going to say it, but it's a great league. It's a great league. It's just, it's fun. If you like basketball, and I do, it is such a fun league because the storylines are always kind of dramatic. It's kind of like The Bachelor on a court.
Small roster sizes, personalities, egos, the whole deal. You get a little of everything.
But no doubt about TD that. Had not played well defensively. And this here's the thing about an NBA season is it's 82 games, man. It is so different than a college
season.
He's
never done anything close to that.
You play a game at 7 o'clock the night before. You finish it. You get out of the locker room about 10:30. And you're wired. You just played a high-level NBA game, right? And you go and, you know, I'm sure that you're young and you're single and there are opportunities and you want to grab a bite to eat and maybe you want to have a glass of wine or whatever and you get back to a hotel at 1 a.m. and you damn well better get your rest because you've got shoot around the next day. You've got practice the next day at 10:30 a.m. because you got to get ready for the next game. On to the next. 82 times. And that is, and if you don't, in the NBA, if you don't play with intensity on the defensive end, you will absolutely get embarrassed. And he's guarding twos and threes in the NBA. So in a league full of elite athletes, he's guarding the most elite athletes out there.
Mm-hmm.
And he had been taken to school a couple of times here in the last couple of weeks. And they needed him to play well last night. He did. He is a fantastic kid. He is a great human being. He cares. He's got a big heart. He's on the perfect team with guys like Lowry and Fred VanVleet and Serge Ibaka and those guys. It's been neat to see. And like I told you earlier in the show, I think Nick Nurse is the perfect coach for him.
It's a couple different things. It's a long season. It's also the time of year where, hey, this rookie's playing a lot now. We can scout him. We can scheme him. We know how to stop him now.
Sure.
He had to bounce back. He had to find a way to fix what they were then doing to him. Yeah, and I mean, Nurse's quote on Tuesday night, just one night ago, or, you know, one night before this, he was asked why Davis didn't get more than 8 minutes of run. Nurse was a stink, said it was probably 5 too many, was the quote he gave about him the night before.
Yeah.
So, play well. We say good things. Play poorly, and you sit on the bench.
Bell rings 82 times, and you have to earn the benefit of the doubt. Not everybody gets to be LeBron. Not everybody gets to be James Harden.
Mm-hmm.
Ding, ding. Answer it.
Again, and again, and again,
yeah.
And again, and again.
And it's going to ring again. I don't know when they play next. I think they...
And at some point... Okay.
But he's proving that he can play in this league. He's proving he can defend in this league. He can score in this league. He made two giant threes, I think, in overtime.
Back to back, yeah.
Big shots. Because Charlotte played pretty well last night. It was a hell of a game. I know if take Terrence Davis off the floor, no, we would never be talking Toronto-Charlotte basketball. It was a fantastic basketball game.
No, we wouldn't. Oh, gosh. So,
Leif asked about tonight. How's Carson going to feel? I don't know. You know, it's funny.
What's tonight?
Tonight, Russell Westbrook returns to Oklahoma City.
Okay.
Carson's kind of in on the Thunder. He's back in on the Thunder. Leif, by the way, thanks for the shirt that you sent to him. He wears it about 3 times a week. Got a Shea Gilgeous-Alexander City Edition shirt. He wore his Westbrook Thunder shirt last night to soccer practice. I don't know whether that was accidental or whether that was just part of the rotation. We'll see. Be a fun night. Be a cool night in Oklahoma City. I suspect that the Thunder fans will receive Russell Westbrook quite warmly.
Yeah, why wouldn't you at this point?
Yeah, he's a huge part of there.
I mean, yeah, that's...
I suspect Russell will attempt to not be moved, and I think it will be very difficult for him not to be moved. He's a human being. He's going to feel emotion when that many people receive him the way that they will. And the Thunder have always had kind of a no-video tribute policy. It's my understanding that that's being thrown to the wayside
tonight. Oh, really?
Yeah, that there is going to be quite the tribute to Russell, probably in the pregame.
Of course, yeah.
Because
yeah.
They feel like if they did it during the game, that would be an insult to Russell in many ways, because Russell Westbrook is as competitive a human being as you'll ever meet.
Would come off as gamesmanship at that point.
Well, he just wouldn't. Russell wants to be the enemy. I mean, if Russell Westbrook could truly get the reception that he wanted for his basketball, he would be widely booed tonight. That will not happen. He will be cheered.
Yes.
Warmly. Genuinely. He stayed when he could have left.
As he should. The reception, not staying or leaving, whatever. Yeah. That's not here or there.
The Thunder are a decent team, 35 games in. I think they're 20 and 15. So be a fun. On top of it, it will be a really fun game to watch, I anticipate.
Once the state thing is resolved, is that kind of it for the head? I mean, I know it's it for probably the head coaching stuff around the league or the country or whatever, but assistant-wise, still just waiting. We know nothing more than we did yesterday. There's no news.
I'm not sitting on anything.
No?
I mean, I'm almost embarrassed that I know as little as I know about it, but...
That's what I was telling you yesterday. I mean, there's been a few great, fine things just kind of about the team in general and whatever, but coach-wise, I don't know. Nobody seems to know.
No?
I mean...
I'm not sure he knows.
He's not in a hurry.
I've told you that.
You've been very consistent with that. And
the sourcing on that was impeccable. It's going to be deliberate. He wants to get it right. He believes it's imperative to get it right. And if that means taking your time, then you get it right. See, a lot of people say, what's the deadline? Well, frankly, the deadline is the first day of spring practice.
Well, I mean, yeah.
I mean, recruiting is a deadline, sort of. But I don't.
That's a deadline.
But as a kid, let's pick a position, any position, other than quarterback.
Wide receiver, whatever.
Is a wide receiver not going to come to a school like Ole Miss right now because the wide receiver? And I know
that's a spot where there's a coach though that's open.
Yeah, would a elite wide receiver not come to Ole Miss today because the wide receiver coach was open? I don't think so. I think he'd come because he'd want to play in that system. He'd want to play for Kiffin. He'd meet the other coaches. I don't even think that would be the holdup. Now, would I recommend completing the staff? Yes, because I'm tired of getting the question. But when do you really have to have the staff in place? Frankly, the first day of spring.
But when do you expect it?
I don't know.
No guess there?
No. Whenever he gets it. I think the convention starts today in Nashville, right?
It does, yeah.
Imagine he'll talk to some people today. I'd be surprised if a week from today it's not done.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I was trying to pull up some NFL stuff I thought was interesting. I hadn't gotten it. What are you laughing at?
Read the text from Zach.
How do we get one?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll do it in a second.
Oh my God.
What are you laughing at?
Oh, the tweet.
Okay. I'll look in a minute. Raptors, by the way, 25-13 overall.
Yeah, well. A year after Kawhi leaves.
Yes, I'm saying.
Yeah, well, Nick Nurse is a terrific coach.
I mean, really doing well. I did not realize the Heat were 27-10.
Another terrific coach.
I'm just kind of scanning the league a little bit.
Well, and the kid from Kentucky, Tyler Hero, has played well. They're good. They've got players all over the roster.
There was zero buzz for the Pelicans while I was in New Orleans over the weekend. Nothing. I mean, just not mentioned, not a thing, nothing. Which Zion's not playing, obviously.
Yeah.
Did see that clip that got put out with Zion and Ja Morant talking about AAU days or whatever, about Shuler. That was kind of neat yesterday. It's about how when they were freshmen, they were the role players, and it was –
Devontae
Shuler, who carried the AAU team. Yeah. Zion brought him up just independently, just kind of talking.
Well, they were talking about those two playing together because we were role players.
Yeah.
And J.J. Redick, and they're going, role players?
Yeah.
You?
Yeah.
And John? Yeah, it was a legitimate question on J.J. Redick's part, by the way. And Zion, who I love, by the way, I love his personality. His response was, there was this kid.
From South Carolina, then ended up at Ole Miss.
He's at Ole Miss now. This dude at Ole Miss now, Devontae Shuler, was the guy. It was kind of funny.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
I like Zion. I hope it works out. I really do, because I love his personality.
He's got a good feel for it. I mean, what's the odds of that working out there? I mean, what do you think now?
I think so. I think he had an injury, and they need to get it. They want to get it well. I think he's practicing now. I think they need to get some weight off of him. He's a little big.
Really?
I do. I mean, I know everybody fights back on that and says that's part of his game, but I think all in all, he would benefit from dropping 15 pounds and getting in a little better shape.
What are you excited about NFL this weekend? All of them, some of them. What's appointment viewing? What's the plan?
I got to cover a basketball game, so I got to figure out how to watch the NFL while I'm covering a basketball game on my computer. I'm interested in all of the games. I'm really interested in all of them. I know you're probably not. You're probably trying to convince yourself.
I won't watch anything this week.
Well,
I will take one. And that's what sucks. It's two things.
Would you like my Arkansas credential?
Hey. Two things. Number one, I told you, I hate not having the buildup. I'd be reading everything right now. I'd be so engaged in this at the moment that I would be very excited. I'd be all these different things. So I hate that that's taken away from me. But then two, I'm not sure. There isn't. There's not a better football weekend of the year than the divisional playoff round.
No doubt.
That is the round that is the most fun of anything.
This is the best weekend of football because you get four great NFL games and then the title game.
Right. This great couple day period here, a 3 day period here.
Yeah.
And but if you lose in wild card weekend as a fan, this is the weekend you take off to just cleanse it a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, if a game's late, I might watch it. But like Saturday, I will not watch a second of 49ers-Vikings.
Right.
I will not be able to do that. I won't touch it.
I won't make fun. I understand.
Yeah. If the Cubs lose in the LCS, you're not worried about the World Series the next week.
Not a pitch.
Yeah. So, no, I will not watch that. I will watch the Titans because I'm kind of interested.
Yeah.
And then I think I will watch the other NFC game, at least to some extent.
I do think Titans-Ravens has a chance to be a really interesting football game, chess match sort of game. Derrick Henry's ability to pound the ball, eat clock, they do have, you have to keep up. You can take A.J. Brown out of the game the way that the Patriots did, but to do it, you have to use a safety over there.
Mm-hmm.
You have to take somebody out of the box to do it. Seattle-Green Bay has a chance, I think, to be a great football game. And there's something about a Sunday evening game at Lambeau in the playoffs.
That's the game I watch
on
the NFC side. Yeah, on the NFC side.
I don't think Kansas City-Houston is going to be all that entertaining. I sort of anticipate Kansas City just demolishing them. But we get to watch Patrick Mahomes on a playoff stage. And there's a real chance, I mean, not to rub salt in the wound, I don't mean to do that, but there's a real chance that this is part of the passing of the guard, the passing of the torch from Tom Brady and Breeze to Mahomes and
Lamar Jackson, and all these guys.
Yeah, those cats,
Yeah.
And Russell Wilson's over there, and Aaron Rodgers is too, but their hands up going, hey, hold up just a minute.
We're still here.
We're
trying to see if Garoppolo can get into the conversation. Cousins is what he is, but can Garoppolo get into the conversation?
Yeah, Cousins validated he at least told people, hey, look, this thing that I'm a choker, that's crap. Now, am I ever going to be an elite quarterback? No.
But he made one hell of a throw.
I
mean, got his, you know what I mean? He got his signature throw.
He did.
Now, I mean, obviously he wants to have a bigger one on a stage. It's not wild card weekend.
Well, and even the throw the play where everybody debates whether it was PI or not, he could not have put the ball in a better place.
No, it was good.
To Rudolph.
Frankly, I don't throw the ball to Rudolph enough. He's still a beast. I remember years
in
the league at this point.
He's an absolute horse.
Yeah. We'll go into a little more NFL in a second. I'll first tell you about MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape, 662-607-7773, or go mastercuts.com for a free quote. Before long, it's going to be heated up. You're going to need just some basic maintenance for everything from mowing to edging to weed eating and more. So give them a call to help you out with that. They also build custom playgrounds and really any outdoor living space that you can desire, they can take care of. So, again, Master Cuts Lawn and Landscape, 662-607-7773.
Our friends at Blue Delta Jeans want to give a big thank you to all listeners of the Oxford Exxon podcast for their incredible support in 2019. They're thrilled to move into 2020 with the Rebel Grove community. We are glad to have them. SEC basketball play about to kick off in Oxford on Saturday. And as you make your way into Oxford to cheer on Kermit and the Ole Miss basketball team, don't forget to stop by the Blue Delta Jeans studio to check out Blue Delta's awesome jeans, cotton pants, chinos, and even their stretch corduroy fabrics for the winter. The Oxford studio is open 10 to 6 every day except Sunday. But if you need an after-hours fitting, don't hesitate to reach out to Blue Delta Jeans on social media or at info@bluedeltajeans.com to get your custom fitting scheduled today. We are also brought to you by Nest and Wild. Nest, sleep better with the Nest and Wild mattress. Nest and Wild is a Mississippi-based mattress company making a high-quality mattress delivered right to your door. They make buying a new mattress easy. Every Nest and Wild is 1 foot thick, giving you comfort and support that will last. A lot of online brands sell an 8-inch or a 10-inch mattress. But from the twin size to the California King, every Nest and Wild mattress is 1 foot thick. They're 100% American made, a great value for the customer. And you throw in the podcast discount, it's even better. It's a no risk decision. Nest and Wild believes in their product so much, they are offering a 99-night trial on every mattress. So try it out. Sleep on it for 99 nights. If you don't like it, you can return it. Go to nestandwild.com, order your mattress, use the podcast code REBEL20, and get 20% off your mattress. Again, that's podcast code REBEL20 at checkout. Your mattress will arrive at your door in 3 to 5 days. We're also brought to you by Pinnacle Trust. Pinnacle Trust, based in Madison, Mississippi. They represent clients in more than 20 states, advisors in 3 states. They provide detailed, specialized investment management, financial planning, retirement planning for individuals and businesses, and so much more. Investing is treated like a commodity. Decisions are made using objective information and research, not emotions. So regardless of your level of wealth, Pinnacle Trust will sit down with you. They'll listen to your goals, study your expenses, put forth a comprehensive, detailed financial and retirement plan built just for you. It's pintrust.com, PINN Trust.com. Mention you heard about Pinnacle Trust on the podcast. You'll get 10% off your first year's fee. And we're brought to you by the Westin Jackson, where you can restore serenity to your soul by visiting Soul Spa. And you can also gather at Estelle Wine Bar and Bistro, sip on a creative craft cocktail, enjoy their curated wine list and their fabulous menu there at the Estelle Wine Bar and Bistro inside the Westin Jackson. It's a Marriott property in downtown Jackson, Mississippi.
So, looking at this ESPN story where they talked to NFL executives anonymously about 2020, and you mentioned the changing of the guard, the quarterback. The number one topic they say is NFL executives predict the Saints will go all in on Taysom Hill in 2020 as the starting quarterback.
Well,
says, let's see, wouldn't come as a total shock to see Sean Payton move forward with Taysom as the quarterback, one NFC exec said. Sean's always been intrigued by athletic quarterbacks and how to utilize them. Taysom is that talented of a guy.
So here's the question.
Says, okay. Here, just from a money standpoint, says, is that enough to replace one of the game's best ever in Breeze, who just came off a career best 116.3 passer rating? Perhaps not, but Breeze is coming off a 2-year, $50 million contract, and despite remarkable consistency the past few years, has looked a step slow in the loss to Minnesota. As a restricted free agent, Hill would cost a maximum of only $4.6 million for a first-round tender, according to projections from Over the Cap.
So you save $21 million. Go get some dudes for $21 million.
Find another guy for him to throw to.
Find more than one dude.
Yeah.
So here's my question. There's no way to answer this. Do you believe, because here's what's funny, is the one guy that might be sort of closest to Lamar Jackson from an athletic standpoint is Taysom Hill. Taysom Hill's a hell of an athlete.
He is.
I don't know that he's Lamar Jackson, but he's up there. If you believe that what Baltimore is doing, if you believe that John Harbaugh's right when he said to Lamar Jackson on the sideline this year, years from now, man, there are going to be little kids all over the place playing quarterback wearing number 8. You're breaking the mold. Now, that was Harbaugh pumping up his quarterback. I get that. But if you believe him,
Here's the thing, though. I mean, there's only a few of him. Or maybe none. Right.
But Hill is close to that.
I guess my point is we said the same thing about Mike Vick 15 years ago, 20 years
well,
ago.
Well, had Mike Vick not had the off-the-field problems, who knows what he would have been.
Yeah.
He did light
the
league
on fire. No, I'm
saying
with revolutionizing for other people, schemes, for systems, whatnot. Well, you got to have that dude. I mean, you know. It's enough to at least make him think.
I thought what was interesting.
Peyton thinks he's the smartest guy in every room. And his mind's going, hey, I can draw up some ball plays with that.
He won with Bridgewater.
He did, 5-0.
Won with Bridgewater.
Yeah.
These playoff fall-offs are not, you can't ignore them. Once, no. Okay, twice.
Eh. Drew has not played well in any of the three losses in the playoffs.
It's three times.
Yeah.
Drew turns 40. Or is 40.
He is 40. He'll play his entire next season at 41.
Yeah, I'm moving on. I'm consistent with this. I'm moving on. If I'm New England, I'm moving on. I say all the right things. I retire the jersey. When it's over, I bring them back, and we have one hell of a party.
Says, asking several execs and coaches, elicits the response. Let's see. Can't imagine Tom Brady leaving the Patriots. Quote, says one exec, he'll stay with the Patriots with a better supporting cast on offense. Said they would try to get him help and let him have another season in New England is the predictions from the executives.
Yeah, well, they're clearly not
listening
to me.
One AFC scout said he actually went the other way. He said it feels like both sides want to change. We'll see.
I know what I would do.
NFL executives think the Redskins will make the playoffs next year, partly because of a weak NFC East.
Well, someone's got to win that division.
Yeah.
Won't be the Giants.
The front seven has talent. It's going to be so much better, and coaching will make a big difference there with Rivera. Also, the front seven may be adding Chase Young with a number two overall pick.
Isn't that who you'd take?
Yeah.
Bengals go Burrow. Redskins go Young. And then who's third? It's Giants third, maybe? Detroit third. Giants fourth.
Miami's five, I know.
Detroit at three is fascinating. What do you do? Do you move on from Matthew Stafford? Or are you so financially locked into Matthew Stafford that you can't do something there? If you're Detroit, do you take Tua? Because the Giants won't.
I still don't think Tua falls below five. I just got a weird feeling about the Dolphins there at five.
Well, I was getting ready
set
to say
on
that.
Him, and it just is what it is.
That's where I was going. The Giants won't take quarterback at four, even though they probably should. And then at five, because Boyd Jones feels like Trubisky, doesn't he?
He does.
It just feels like the same dude. They should start him.
Two guys who have to really be. I mean, it's one of the things with Eli. Don't get enough credit for you're throwing outdoors in Chicago and New York.
Yeah,
better have some damn arm strength. I mean, better like there's a lot going on there from that standpoint.
But if you're Miami at five, and two is there, there's no pressure on Miami to win the AFC East next year. If two is there, Tannehill played well enough this year to be the quarterback again, right? Wasn't it Tannehill?
No, he's in Tennessee now, remember?
That's right. Who's the quarterback?
Live stream, help me.
Miami Dolphins quarterback this year.
This is killing me.
I know, it's just driving me nuts.
Fitzpatrick. Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Well, Tannehill, Fitzpatrick, they're the same dude.
Yeah.
He played well enough to be your quarterback for 8-9 weeks, right? You could redshirt Tua.
Oh, you should redshirt him, I think.
Make sure you get him completely well.
Sure.
Let him get familiar with your playbook. And then if he's ready in week 10, week 11, here you go.
Executives expect Phillip Rivers to sign with the Indianapolis Colts.
Really?
That's what it says. One exec says he's not mobile and his arm strength looked questionable at times, but he's still a year removed from an MVP-type season and the Colts have a window. Indianapolis has $93 million in 2020 cap space.
Ooh. What else does exec say? This is pretty interesting.
You like this?
Yeah.
They're all in still on Lamar Jackson in 2020.
Yeah.
They have no problems
there. I don't have a problem there.
Says, I believe the versatility keeps expanding in those types of offenses. It allows them to do many different things in how they go about attacking the defense, situationally and possession downs. They have so many different looks they can throw at you. And when the quarterback is the best athlete on the field, it's just really hard to stop in the open field. You have to win up front, but Baltimore's really stout there. That's the key.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're all about – they think Ryan Tannehill will earn a massive contract extension before Dak Prescott.
Who'd you rather have, Tannehill or Prescott?
Oh, God.
If I tell you today, hey, you get a solid football team, the football gods come down and go, here are your choices. Dak or Tannehill? Who you got?
I think Tannehill. Right?
Super
117
close.
Passer rating. Nowhere near the cast that the Cowboys have been able to put around Dak for most of the time, especially from an offensive line running back standpoint. Although Derrick Henry, hell of a running back now. That's probably not true with the back position now, but
yeah. Do I get to keep Derek and AJ? There's a couple of dogs right there now. I love me some Derrick Henry. I mean, I'm kind of in on the Titans a little bit. Derrick Henry,
you have gotten a little giddy, you know, because you used to gripe about them so much. They'd be on in our network, in our region or whatever, and you're going, I've got the dang Titans.
Well, with Mariota, they didn't do anything. He does give him a shot.
Said, I wouldn't be surprised to see Tannehill and Tennessee come to an agreement before free agency. They have a good thing going, and the money shouldn't be outrageous. They can work something out. Maybe something in that three-year range with with well over $20 million annually. It's doubtful he would take much less.
It's good work if you can get it.
Marcus Mariota will sign with the Bears.
I can see that.
They think Jameis Winston will go back to the Bucs, but with competition.
Bust.
He does a lot of good things. Just does a lot of really bad things,
like,
too.
Bad things like 30 times.
Literally.
His ball security is just awful. In a league where you can't turn it over like that, he turns it over. He's not a rookie anymore. Come on.
Here's the problem with that Peyton thing. Is I just don't see them telling Breeze no.
It's a business.
I get that. I'm just telling you. I think New Orleans, of all places, would be much more susceptible to that sentimentality season. I'm not saying it's right, and it will be frustrating as all whatever.
I'm not arguing with you. I'm just sitting here telling you the business sense in me says it's time. He broke the records.
Is it interesting a little bit that it's all Taysom, not Teddy? He did go 5-0. Not saying it should be. Just saying, you're completely looking over the second-string quarterback for the third-string quarterback.
What Teddy wants to do?
He wants to be an NFL starting quarterback.
Well, I know that. In New Orleans?
Well, if he was given that option, he would take it.
Yeah.
If the Dolphins don't take Tua, I think Teddy ends up in Miami.
What else they got? That it?
That was it, yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it was a lot. Just a little bit there.
We don't have time to go into it now. Ken Rosenthal came out today with a Major League Baseball notebook that was just fascinating.
Filled with stuff.
If you like MLB, you need to go find it on The Athletic and read it. It was a lot of stuff about Mookie Betts, Chris Bryant, Francisco Lindor. If you're a Cardinals fan, he floated the – I've read this twice now. He floated the idea of Nolan Arenado to the Cardinals.
Ooh.
Now, the Cardinals absorbing that contract would be fascinating. There's a lot. There's an expectation in baseball circles that once the Chris Bryant grievance thing is settled, which could come as early as today is what I'm hearing, and once Josh Donaldson signs with somebody, anybody, whether it's Atlanta or whether it's Minnesota or whatever it is, that once those two things happen, that the floodgates open on some trading.
Probably take your questions tomorrow. Check RebelGrove.com for lots of topics, a lot of conversations, and whatever else we bring to you throughout the day and in tomorrow as well. So back with another Friday podcast. Hope you have a great day, and we'll talk to you then.